Natural Living with Gary Null, exploring the nature and politics of medicine, health, nutrition, and the environment. And now your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. Today, I'll be looking at many different issues, trying to give you an ongoing understanding of how complex a debate concerning our health is. If it were only so simple to be able to go out each day and make the right choices. The problem is that between the right choice and the choice we generally make stands a myriad of special interest groups who are promoting their products vis-a-vis the internet, television, radio, advertisements in all forms, spokespersons, sponsorship of special events. And that leaves us somewhat confused because on the one hand we're told, trust authority. From childhood on, the authority figures have always represented the first point of reference in dialoguing with what is supposed to be our perceived reality. That's why, on some respects, the average American did not debate or even confront McCarthyism, didn't question the validity of the Vietnam War, didn't look at whether or not we should be adhering to the same international rules of conduct, like a ban on international arms trade or chemical and biological warfare research and testing, all of which we've actually done. Even though we've condemned other countries for doing it, we're the primary perpetrators of most of these international egregious offenses. Yet, because we are the power, power never convicts itself, never condemns itself, and always has the resources and tools to perpetuate its own myth. So, as a result of this, we really don't know what's real. And I'm talking about the best and brightest amongst us. I'm not talking about people who choose not to look at issues. I'm talking about people who do look at issues and frequently do so, unfortunately, with a misalignment. How you look at an issue, starting off with preconceived notions something is right or wrong, will ultimately determine what you're going to feel about the results that you've obtained. And the problem is twofold. Everything in life is dualistic. Every single action always has its opposite present, though not necessarily one that we will choose to use. Now, that said, it means that in any given moment, we can choose to be thoughtful or thoughtless, selfish or selfless, kind or unkind, happy or sad. These are things that are within our control. What's not within our control are the millions of circumstances and conditions that we have absolutely no way of altering in the short term, and generally not much of a difference in the long term, mainly institutions and paradigms that control the institutions. Institutions, and we must be clear on this, are where all of our values come from, virtually every single value. If you're told that giving is better than receiving, and the authority figures in your life demonstrated that, and you believed it, today there's a high probability that if you honor that conditioning, you'd be a very giving person. Less interested in what you would receive, more interested in what you could give to others. Time, energy, help in some way. On the other end of that spectrum, however, is if you grew up in an environment where your dominant leaders, the people that the teachers and others that were influencing your behavior, if they had limitations and you were able to see and experience those limitations, there is a high probability that some of that limitation you have absorbed or adapted or at least living through on some level. So each day when we arise, it's not as if we can just have fresh juice, go for a walk or run or swim or a bike, do some journal writing or meditating, make a good to-do list that honors who we are. Select only those things that are conscious in how they were created and just be focused upon what's important. It's not that simple because we are not aligning our essential self with what is essential in the world. There's too many other people who have their hands on our our binoculars. They're refocusing as they see things, and then we're seeing it distorted. And the more educated you are, in most cases, the more the distortion becomes fixed in a permanent psychic warfare. The ego defends the person because the ego is an extension of that person's self-esteem. So if you think it's easy speaking with a professor of medicine about what's wrong with the overuse of antibiotics or all the different procedures that have been proven not to work and be dangerous with people, that would be the last person in the world who you can move. You might as well go try to tear down the Berlin Wall when it was still up by looking at it. They are immovable. They are the most difficult of all. And partly, it's not because they're bad. It's not a character judgment. It's not a moral judgment. Rather, it's a conditioning judgment. If on the one hand, we want to condition people to be so certain in their values and beliefs, then look at the consequence when that value or belief is wrong. If it's right, fine. Then you have someone who will do all that's within their power to make something right. And that's the good side of it. So when something does work, we generally get the benefits, the best that work. And a lot of stuff works. There's a lot of good things that improve the quality of our lives that we have to be grateful for. But then we have to balance it against its opposite. For every medical procedure that works, there's one that doesn't. For every drug that could be life-saving, there's one that causes an injury or death. For every person that is given a diagnosis as correct, there's 10 that are incorrect. And the problem is that if you or I were to see something didn't work, you could simply say, this doesn't work, why don't we try something else in a different area altogether? We're not affixed to the outcome. We don't have an ego attachment, a self-esteem attachment. We don't have a career attachment. But they do. And when you've been given that kind of power to make choices over other people's lives, how likely is it that you're going to acknowledge when you're wrong? Now, political correctness will say, of course, if we're wrong, we have to acknowledge it and correct it. Reality, very little is ever done in the way of correcting something that's wrong. We have to be forced into it. We have to be forced to finally say, yes, we did wrong. Sometimes that's only in a court of law. Never in the court of our own psyche. Because then what will people think of us? We're a society that says we want the truth. Far from it. The last thing in the world we could tolerate is the truth. And that is because we have learned to live so long and so consistently by self, by partial truths and lies. So one day we wake up and we're told, eat the American diet, it's good for you. We know it's not. We're smarter than that. And yet we have trusted authority for so long and we don't want to go through changes and we're very uncomfortable about making ourselves disciplined in an area we have not heretofore been disciplined, even though other parts of our life we've probably been highly disciplined and mastered. Health and thinking properly is not one of them for most people. And if you doubt that, take a look at a $2 trillion next year medical bill. Look at, of 285 million Americans, 200 million are sick. We are the sickest nation in the world as far as the number of diseases, major diseases, per population. Third world countries, providing they have adequate nutrients, are living longer with less disease. You can go to almost 60 East African nations and you will not find diverticulitis, colorectal cancer, heart disease, appendicitis at all. Here, go into any building in any city and someone in there has had all the above. So, at what point do we decide to stop playing this game? Well, there's good news and bad news. The good news is, thank God for less than advanced educated individuals in the academic sense. Whatever's going to save us cannot come from the best and brightest. They've created the problem and are not capable of surrendering what is wrong or their own associated guilt by making mistakes. No one in the nuclear industry has admitted that the entire concept of nuclear energy is wrong. No one in the hormone field for women has acknowledged that women didn't need the hormones to begin with. And it's been a deadly legacy. No one in the mammography field has admitted what they do is wrong, or the surgery field what is wrong. And cellular phones, they've known for years, it's going to be causing an epidemic of cancer. Nothing, no epidemic we've seen in the last 100 years will compare to what we're going to have in about 10 years with brain cancers, skin cancers, ear cancers. Now, who's acknowledging it? No one. No one in the tobacco industry, sugar industry, meat industry. And those who have advocated that our entire political system is corrupt and should be completely abolished and starting over with a true concept of fair processes to get elected. But look at every single effort at political reform. Every single one stymied. We shouldn't have an income tax. It's absurd. It's obscene. We shouldn't have a Federal Reserve System. We should never bail out a banker. Because you're never bailed out. We should not allow an individual crime to go unpunished. And yet we should never allow a corporate crime to go unpunished. People who are killed by corporations, rare does any person ever have to do time or be acknowledged for guilt when they've created a product like pesticides. 500,000 people are poisoned each year throughout the world, the pesticides that are made and banned in the United States and sold to them. When was the last time you saw a boycott of all the pesticide companies that have done this? Why don't you go to their synagogues, talk with their rabbis, and say, Rabbi, if you're a conscious person, and after all, we're all told the rabbi is never wrong, well, why don't you look at the corporate leaders who sit in those pews and ask them, how can they be in this house of God when every day they're in a house of hell where their policies destroy lives? Why do we cut them slack? Because they're powerful, give money. We do everything backwards. To the most corrupt, we always defer. To the most egotistical, like celebrities, who are so pathetic and so childlike and so immature and so selfish and so conceited, they are despicable, with a few exceptions. I haven't met them, but if I do, I'll tell you which ones. And I've counseled some of the biggest stars, biggest names in the world. Not one of them would I say is a truly honorable person. They have this sense of entitlement. They're very poor who feel entitled. There are a lot of middle class who feel entitled. But the most sense of entitlement is with those who have so much, and they still feel they're entitled. Entitled to what? Why? And unfortunately, we say, oh, go ahead in front of us in a movie theater. I guess you're more important as a human being. Oh, go ahead, take a seat in a restaurant. We don't mind waiting out here in the rain because you're famous. Even though we gave you $20 million to watch your film, hey, you know, we're just humble little ants under your feet, Steven Spielberg. These people are pathetic. They're an embarrassment to the human race. And yet they're the ones who will win humanitarian awards. Why? Because they're humanitarian? No. You buy humanity awards in this country. And every week there's a different award for something. Nose picking next week in Hollywood. And you'll see all the typical showing up. Do they show up because they care? No, because it's a way to show that they're still more important than you and I. Ego dominates. The type of programs we allow on television. And do we boycott the networks? No, we don't. Do we boycott their advertisers? No, we don't. Let me read you something from Michael Kelly. Not us. Tough luck. Comes from the Washington Post. I'll quote. Wednesday, July 25th. Let us feel for Lizzie Grubman. Miss Grubman is the daughter of Alan Grubman, a very rich music biz attorney. She is 30, a college dropout, and an entertainment industry publicist. On the night of July 6, Miss Grubman was in the Hamptons partying, this being basically her job. Late that night, she got into arguments with employees of the Conscious Point Inn as to where she could park her daddy's Mercedes SUV. According to press reports, club bouncer Scott Cullen asked her to move the car from a fire lane. Miss Grubman allegedly reposed, quote, expletive, you white trash, unquote. Then she allegedly drove the SUV fast, about 35 feet in reverse, striking and injuring 16 persons, including Conlon. She fled the scene. Tragically, some of those injured were not, in fact, white trash, but, as New York Magazine noted, quote, A-listers. Miss Grubman has been most cruelly treated in the court of public opinion and also may not fare well in a court of law where she faces charges of first-degree assault, reckless endangerment, and leaving the scene of an accident. Meanwhile, she gazes out from the July 30th cover of New York Magazine, soulful, sadly wearing a simple, tasteful, black, sleeveless something or other. Pity Miss Grubman. She is a victim of our culture, if ever there was one. How was she to know that it was impermissible to run over white trash? Miss Grubman knows what we all know. There is us. Us in the VIP rooms, us in the VIP schools, us in the VIP jobs, I might add, us in the VIP Upper West Side apartments, including the building I live in. And there is not us, the white trash. And there are very different rules for what each can do to each. What Miss Grubman might say about Jeff Zucker? Mr. Zucker is the very role model of us. He is the president of NBC Entertainment. As such, he is responsible for Fear Factor, NBC's reality show, in which people who are desperate enough for money are induced to risk bodily harm and endure national humiliation. Contestants on Fear Factor have allowed hundreds of rats to swarm over their bodies and have been chased in protective clothing by attack dogs. Mr. Zucker mocks those who find something wrong with this. He says, "We're having fun. We're having a great summer. Get a life." It would be wrong to say that Mr. Zucker is a vile, immoral, contemptible, evil,